Caroline, Willie, D. Mays, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, and The Game Nashville app. We are live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studios, and we are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. And joining us now is Jerry Dulac of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. He is the beat reporter for the Pittsburgh Steelers. There, Jerry, appreciate you for joining us. Thursday night football, Titans on the road at Acrisure Stadium, which I almost got called Heinz Field. I will catch myself doing that a few times.
It's Heinz Field to me. Heinz Field to me.
Jerry, just for a little bit of perspective, what's kind of the vibe? Where are the Pittsburgh Steelers coming into this game on Thursday night?
Well, Caroline, don't worry about the slip up of Heinz Field. We all still do it all the time. it happens frequently here in Pittsburgh. I'll tell you where the Steelers are. The Steelers are a team that doesn't score a lot of points. They hang around like bad in-laws waiting for a break, turnover. But their failure to score points, that hasn't been just this year. You know, 5 to 7 games, they've scored only one touchdown. Go back even to last season. 9 of the last 13 games, they've only scored one touchdown. So, you know, during the offseason, Art Rooney II, the team president, when he was asked, you know, where does the team need to improve in 2023? He didn't even hesitate. His first words were score points, and they still don't. And it's eventually going to cost the offensive coordinator his job unless something drastic happens in this second half of the season. I don't foresee that happening. Their defense, you know, it's not bad. They don't stop the run very well, but they're on the field a lot. Too many three and outs by this football team, especially to start the game, you know, offensively. And so they put their defense in a hole, and they're taking the ball away. But, you know, they're playing from behind. And so, Baltimore handed the Steelers the game. The Rams handed the Steelers the game. To the Steelers' credit, they took it. You know, they were making mistakes and turnovers and stupid decisions, but the Steelers took advantage of it. Now, in this past game against Jacksonville, Jacksonville did the same thing, turned the ball over 3 times. But the Steelers couldn't do anything with it. So that's where they are at 4-3. They're probably lucky to be 4-3. It's actually surprising they're 4-3 is what I should say.
Jerry Dulac of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette is with us. And that has been, you know, one big talking point throughout this season is how much the Steelers have struggled offensively. Now, do you expect, if Kenny Pickett is back on Thursday, which I saw he spoke with reporters earlier this week that he did expect to be back Thursday, do you think that could add some, you know, oomph to this offense? Or is it really truly just a Matt Canada problem?
Yeah, well, I think it's several problems because, I mean, Kenny Pickett has not been very sharp except in the second half. I mean, the difference between the first half and the second half with him has been alarming, especially when you look at the first quarter to the fourth quarter. I mean, he's missed open receivers. He looks skittish in the pocket. He hasn't played very well at all in the first half of games. So I don't look at it as him playing is going to be any additional benefit to an offense that has struggled. But, you know, because of the Thursday game, practice is closed to the media today, but I have been told today's practice, even though Kenny Pickett said he will play, and I don't doubt that he will, but I was told that today's practice will determine not so much if he can play, it's more going to be how well can he play, how comfortable can he play. But I do expect him to start the game, but I'm not going to sit here and rubber stamp it.
Now, Jerry, you know, one thing, you know, I know about the Pittsburgh Steelers up until this year was they were not going to allow you to run the football. That's one thing that they were not going to do, and they did a damn good job at it. But this year is different. They're giving up over 100 yards per game rushing. But they do get Cam Hayward back. Will that make a difference? I know Micah Fitzpatrick is out possibly. But will Cam coming back have a big difference on their run-stopping ability?
Yeah, Cam won't be back until next week's game at the earliest. And that's been the timetable all along. I do expect him back. November 12th, they play the Packers. Mm-hmm. There's no question he'll help. You know, they made big strides last year to improve their run defense. I think they finished 10th in the league. And I go back, you know, to your point about one thing you always know. James Ferrier once told me, he goes, look, if we want to stop the run, we'll stop the run. And that was always their mentality. But, you know, there's a number of factors at play. I know they've been playing that 34 defense for a long time. But the difference is their base is the 34, but they're in their dime. They're in their nickel and dime 70 to 75% of the time. And when you're only using two down linemen, that's putting a lot of pressure on your inside backers. And teams, I mean, I don't know how you stop the run playing a nickel defense, you know, with two down linemen, or stop it on a consistent basis. And that's the problem that they face. And so what we have seen in these games where teams start to run the ball, I mean, the Rams had a patchwork running game, and they ran for 135 on them the other day, 2 weeks ago. And so we've seen the Steelers on occasion put a four-man front up there. They're not switching their defense to a 4-3 by any stretch, but they've had to do different things to try and stop the run because they have failed to do that. And when they talk about the Steelers wanting to be a great defense or an elite defense, well, that's never going to be until they stop the run. And they've struggled to do it. And of course, we're so used to seeing here them do that, you know, historically, annually, on a regular basis, but not so much the last 3 years. A little better last year, not so good this year.
And now on the flip side of that, running a football, Najee Harris is obviously, he's shown he's one of the best backs in the National Football League, but it just hasn't shown this season. They're not even averaging over 100 yards, I believe, per game. Is it so much so the running back, which I can't believe it is, or is it the offensive line, or is it the play caller?
Well, you know as well as me, it's not just one or the other. Mm-hmm. It's not the back. It's not just the offensive line. Najee's been – he's kind of run in differently this year. And last year what happened is when they started playing Jaylen Warren, and Jaylen Warren is a downhill, see-it-hit-it type of runner. And he was hitting holes and gaining yards, whereas not when Najee was struggling. And so whether he saw it or was pointed out to him or decided this is what, you know, no, he was bothered by a foot injury for the first half of last year. Second half of last year, Najee was just hitting that hole and going. And with the exception of a few instances this year, he hasn't been doing that. The Rams game, he ran with determination. He got that ball and he hit that hole. The other day against Jacksonville, not, you know, entirely different. Seven carries, 13 yards, and very tentative going up to the line of scrimmage. So, you know, are the holes there and he's not hitting them, or are they not there and he's running into a brick wall? Whatever it is, you know, he's had problems running the ball, and they have not run it on a consistent basis. I'll go back a couple weeks ago to that Rams game. You know, they had 80-some yards, but 54 were in the fourth quarter. They ran the ball, you know, 4 yards, 6 yards, 5 yards, 7 yards, the way you want to run the ball in the fourth quarter, and it worked. So that gave them hope that, okay, maybe that was a positive step forward, and then they come up against Jacksonville and just literally hit the wall running the football.
Now, Jerry, before I pass it over to Willie, this has to be frustrating to Mike Tomlin, because on both hands, you're not stopping the run, and we can't run the ball effectively. That has to be something that Mike Tomlin is just going bananas over.
Absolutely, because that's probably, you know, if you know, his DNA as a coach is built on doing both. And that they don't, yeah, it probably is. You know, this past year, you know, their offensive line last year was the most improved unit on the team. And then they go out and sign two guys in free agency, Isaac Seumalo and Nate Herbig as a backup, and they draft Broderick Jones. And it became apparent what their mindset was going to be, and that's run the football with big people, improve an offensive line that played every snap, all, you know, started every game last year and was pretty good. And so – but the opposite has happened. Not that they've gotten worse, but you don't see the dramatic improvement. And that was a big focus this year, not to become run-oriented, but to run the ball better and take the pressure off, you know, your young quarterback. And it really hasn't happened. And so, yeah, that part of it is frustrating more than just to Mike Tomlin. That's organizationally, it's been frustrating. And yeah, defensively, you know, you're never gonna choke a team down until you stop the run and make them one dimensional and get after them with your two outside edge guys who are as good as any as a combo as there is in the league.
Post Gazette, Jerry, we're watching Will Levis now get his chance here for a team that's trying to remain competitive while throwing a young quarterback in. At least that's where they're going as of last Sunday. You know, that there are quarterbacks who come into the league and they're thrown in there with a team in a full rebuild. Kenny Pickett is sort of closer to Levis, right? Last year he was a rookie quarterback on a team that was trying to win. What's your big picture outlook for Pickett at this point?
Well, I've always thought, first of all, I'll go back to last year, and when I look at what prior to last season, when I look at what the Steelers needed, to me, based on where they were, I didn't think they needed to take a quarterback in the first round, especially after they wasted little time in free agency signing Mitch Trubisky. But okay, you took him, and that's fine. But I think Kenny Pickett is a good quarterback. I think he is a guy who could win. But, you know, you saw him in a class with your guy, Malik Willis, and everybody thought it was a weak class and that Kenny Pickett maybe was the best. And there was some debate that maybe Malik Willis would be the first quarterback picked. Well, he lasted to the third round, which should tell you something about the strength of that quarterback class. So I think Kenny Pickett is a nice quarterback who can win games with. I don't think he's an elite quarterback. I don't think he's those, quote, franchise quarterbacks that's going to take a team to the Super Bowl. But I think he's a nice young quarterback. And they can win with him. But he's – He started 19 games now. I mean, he's just early into his second season, really. And he makes mistakes, and of course he's going to. But we've also seen him orchestrate game-winning drives, three of them in the last minute here in the last 10 games. And he has shown that ability to rise to the occasion when they've needed it in the fourth quarter, and that has been his greatest quality.
Jerry, we're looking at Will Levis and we're saying, wow, that was really eye-popping on Sunday. But now you're saying, okay, let's take a look at it Thursday night in Pittsburgh against a Steeler defense, and it kind of gives you the creeps. You say, wow, what is Pittsburgh's history playing against very young quarterbacks? Have they had a lot of success?
Well, I will tell you that when Dick LeBeau was here, I mean, his record against rookie quarterbacks was ridiculous. Like, I can't remember, but I want to say it was like 19-1 or 20-2 or something like that, 18-3. And because he just dialed up different looks and got after them and confused them. I can't sit here and tell you that the same exists. So I don't think it's any one thing. I don't think they have the types of players in the secondary, especially without Minkah Fitzpatrick, who are going to give a young quarterback fits. But that's what they will try to do. And I would be shocked if they didn't try and get after him too. But, you know, teams are paying a lot of attention to T.J. Watt. The last two games, we've seen not only double teams but triple team on T.J. Watt. They don't want him to influence or wreck the game, because he does do that all by himself. So I'm not exactly sure which it's going to be. I mean, I don't really think it can be both. But I don't know that their record against younger quarterbacks has been anything, you know, like it used to be under Dick LeBeau. I will say this about Will Levis being a Penn State guy and seeing where he was when he transferred to Kentucky. I thought Will Levis was Taysom Hill. And I didn't think he was a first-round quarterback. Well, I mean, I know all about the strength of his arm. But after what I saw last week, he looks like a first-round quarterback, doesn't he?
We're hoping he continues
looking pretty good.
To look like that.
Looking pretty good. Hey, Jerry, let me sneak one in. Now that you mentioned Penn State, you know, James Franklin, me being a Vanderbilt guy, I watched every game, and he did some pretty remarkable things. And you can see what they were doing before him and after him, and you say, wow. So I'm just curious where you think he's got Penn State now. I know the perception, like he's beating literally everybody except for two programs.
Right.
So can he bust through and get to that next level that I know how badly, if I know one thing about him, is how much drive he has to get to the top. So do you think he could get to that next step?
Well, there's no question he has built the program back to an elite level, but not that ultimate elite level where, you know, he has to get out of the Big Ten and not only beat those two teams, but start beating some ranked teams. And his record against ranked teams and top 10 teams is abysmal. And so that's what's frustrating to Penn State fans. He does a wonderful job recruiting. You know, you see they have top-tier talent that goes to the NFL, maybe not like Alabama, but they got them and they send them. But it's frustrating that they just can't get past Ohio State and or Michigan. And, you know, they have a chance now. If they would lose to Ohio State and now beat Michigan, that would be better than the opposite, that if they beat Ohio State and lost to Michigan, because when the loss will have occurred. You're better off losing early and winning late if you want to get in the playoff picture. But I think that's what's frustrating, obviously, to Penn State fans. You know, 11-2, you could be 11-2, but yeah, we lost to Ohio State and Michigan is the way they feel. And until that happens, you know, we've seen Ohio State coaches lose their job because they can't beat Michigan. And I don't know that would happen at Penn State. But you know, that will always be the knock against him until he's able to do it. And, I'm not so sure he's going to be able to do it with a 19-year-old quarterback against Michigan.
Are they changing the signals just to make sure? Just kidding. I mean, that is D-Mace is a Michigan State guy. I'm really curious. You're in Big Ten country, what they think. Well, I saw that article in The Athletic. They polled a lot of coaches, unnamed coaches. It does sound like they want to see some significant sanctions here.
Well, I agree, because I mean you're just acknowledging that you're cheating, and by saying, well, everybody steals signals. Yeah, they steal signals. Everybody's trying to gain an edge in the game. You know, if they hear something called out, but when you go to the lengths that they went to you know, it's the same thing Bill Belichick did. You know, with taping games and practices and whatever the heck he was doing. Yeah, I mean, you're blatantly cheating, openly cheating, and you're endorsing it, and that's the biggest crime. And so, yeah, I would think they would come down hard on them. And I mean, it's I loved Jim Harbaugh's explanation that, yeah, we did it, but everybody does it to some degree. We're all trying to gain an edge. Well, I don't think it's as simple as that. But yeah, I would think a lot of coaches would probably want to see them. See the NCAA or somebody, the Big Ten, come down hard on them, because probably a lot of coaches, look, I being around college basketball, college football, NFL football, but especially the college game, you know, there's so much paranoia and everybody's accusing the other guy of cheating. I get all that, and probably a lot of them are. But I think when you go to those levels, and maybe the crime is not that they did it, maybe the crime is that they got caught. But whatever it is, they got caught and they did it. And it was blatant. And yeah, I don't think it should be ignored. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, the old, well, everybody else doesn't, isn't necessarily the best defense.
Not like
of
that.
You and
That's
your program.
Right.
Right, exactly. Not,
That's right.
Nobody else does it like that, at least that we know of. Jerry Dulac of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, appreciate you for joining us, Jerry. Enjoy the game tomorrow night.
All right, guys. Nice chatting with y'all.
Same here.
All right, yeah, nice to meet with you. Jerry Dulac of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. He does great work covering the Pittsburgh Steelers and Penn State. But coming up next, I want to get into what we learned from Jerry, some injury updates, how that might shift our perspective of this matchup with the Titans on Thursday Night Football. We'll get into that coming up next. Caroline Willie D. Mays, hey, tune in to 94.9 The Fan this Saturday for Vanderbilt football. The Commodores will kick off at 3 o'clock at home against Auburn, with pregame beginning at 1:30 p.m. Coverage is also available on the 94.9 The Fan app and at 94.9thefan.com.